This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. You guys already know how obsessed I am with therapy. I talk about it all the time on this podcast, about how I have two therapists and how I go to therapy every single week. Well, I've been going to therapy for years, but once 2020 hit, the year of chaos for all of us, I really needed extra support, and BetterHelp has really been there to guide me through these chaotic times. I've been dealing with anxiety, depression, and I also have been in this recovery space for disordered eating and just a host of other issues. So BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. You can start communicating in under 48 hours, so all you have to do is you take a quick online quiz, you answer some questions about what you're going through, what kind of therapist you're looking for, and you can literally write in the answers, I am looking for this kind of therapist, I am looking for an expert in this field. That's what I did, and they matched me with a therapist who has tons of experience with eating disorders, trauma, and depression. And to be honest, I love my therapist so much. She's probably my favorite therapist I've ever had. And I've been through like a variety of therapists over the years. Me and her really hit it off. And even if you don't hit it off with your therapist right away, because let's be real, finding a therapist can honestly feel like you're dating, don't worry, you can always change therapists as many times as you need. No questions asked, no charge or anything like that. So you can always change your therapist and then get matched with a new one that day. So BetterHelp is not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It is literally professional counseling done securely online. And what I love about BetterHelp is that they have a journal feature. So if you're going through something challenging through the week and you don't have an appointment until, let's say, next week, you can write a journal entry. It's all online. It's secure. And if you'd like, you can share that journal entry with your therapist so that they are on the same page. They're caught up. They know exactly what you're going through. They know whatever triggers you've been dealing with over the week. And what's awesome about BetterHelp too is that your therapist will respond. So you can actually communicate with your therapist in between your sessions. So it's not like you only get to talk to your therapist once a week. You can check in with them frequently in between your sessions. You can catch them up to date. You can kind of communicate with them every day if you wanted to. And the online journal feature is really nice for folks who are new to journaling or just need that extra support. So communicating with your therapist more frequently could really benefit you if you're going through a rough time. BetterHelp is more affordable than traditional offline counseling, and financial aid is available if you are struggling right now. BetterHelp wants you to start living a happier life today. You can visit betterhelp.com/vibe. That's betterhelp.com/vibe. And you can join over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. You deserve the support, you deserve the healing, and you are not alone. There are so many people who are struggling with severe anxiety, depression, trauma, all of these things, and you don't need to suffer in silence anymore. So visit betterhelp.com/vibe for a discount on your first month of online therapy. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/vibe. And that discount code will get you 10% off of your first month of online counseling at betterhelp.com/vibe. Welcome to the Vibe Within podcast. I'm your host, Gab Cohen. Each week, we will connect through stories and conversations about wellness, yoga, addictions, spirituality, mental health, rituals, and everything in between.
The goal is to transform our traumas into strengths to create the change we desire in our lives. My mission is to help others by shining awareness on real life topics so we can learn new ways to heal physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Whatever you are going through in this moment, you are not alone. So let's connect and heal our vibe within.
Hey guys, welcome back to the podcast. This song in the intro is a song by Matt Bellina, the wonderfully talented musician who lives in St. Petersburg, Florida. And I wrote the lyrics for this song when I was in Miami and I was visiting in August, right before I was moving to California temporarily. So I went to Miami to teach some yoga, to film some stuff, to visit a friend. And the first night that I was there, I stayed in a hotel room, and it was probably the most haunted and just not good vibes hotel room. I'm having a trouble speaking right now, but the hotel room was just not okay. And of course, this is during COVID, so I was also a little bit sketched out because it was not the cleanest. I only stayed there one night, but I ended up writing this poem, and you know, Matt turned it into the song "The City." And you know, long story short, it's just like the lyrics and the poem of this song was born out of this realization of moving on from places and really looking at the city or the town that you lived in and you once really loved it. It once sparked that divinity within you, right? It really woke you up, and it created a fire and passion within you. But that fire starts to fade. You know, it starts to die down a little bit after you've been in the same place for a long time. For me, I'm a Sagittarius, and I get bored of places really, really quickly. The longest I've lived in a city is in Miami for four and a half years. So I've been moving a lot the last decade of my life, and I'm assuming a lot of you guys are the same way. But it's this energy of moving on, moving forward. What's the next thing? What's the next chapter? What's the next timeline? Because you're ready for it. And that's the energy that kept coming through, especially when I was shuffling my deck the last week or so. And if you haven't watched any of my Instagram live tarot readings, they're on my IGTV, and they're all between like 25 to 35 minutes. There's some longer ones too, but they're all timeless, and you don't need to be a certain sign to watch them. They find you when they find you, and the messages are timeless. So I recommend going and checking that out, because the last Instagram live that I did was the night that I was moving from California. So now I'm in Florida, but I did an Instagram live that night, and it was a really awesome reading. You know, the Chariot, definitely that energy right now is coming through, that moving forward energy and not looking back, not giving a fuck what happened, not giving a fuck who, you know, did you wrong or who rubbed you the wrong way or what didn't work out. So it's this theme and this energy of like truly moving forward and not even feeling attached to the past of what really like ringed you out, you know, of your emotions, of your drive, of your passion. Like a lot of us are exhausted right now. A lot of us are just like ready to take a break. And right now I'm actually on an Instagram break. And it's funny because I haven't gone on an Instagram break in a while because I like to, you know, promote my podcast on there. And when I got to Florida, you know, the journey here was very intense. I was flying with two cats. They don't make it easy. You know, security does not make it easy at all. At the end of that journey, I felt like I was gonna die, collapse, piss myself out of joy too. I mean, I was just happy it was over. But once I landed, I was like, I have no desire to be on Instagram. I don't care about posting anything. I don't care about sharing that I landed. Like, who gives a fuck? You know what I mean? Like, who actually cares? So it really got me thinking, and I have a lot of notes for this podcast episode. I have a lot of journal prompts that I'm hopefully going to remember to share with you. And it's just a beautiful new energy that we're moving into, because I know I'm not the only one moving into this energy of what truly matters, what really matters to you, like, seriously. And this is kind of a part two to my most recent episode, because I talked a lot about what truly matters and the collective kind of cycles and patterns that we're moving out of, and the issues that we're moving through, like the collective shadow, which you might be feeling this energy too, which is shadow work fatigue, you know, like this overwhelm, this fatigue, this exhaustion of doing too much shadow work, which is totally understandable, because when you're too much in the deep end and you're too wrapped up in therapy and healing and quote unquote bettering yourself and healing trauma, it's like, okay, but like, where does that part of your life end? And then where does your life now begin? You know, there has to be some kind of separation there, because if we're too wrapped up in healing past wounds, past trauma, mother wound, father wound, whatever, shadow, it takes us away from our lives right now in this moment. You know what I mean? And it's like, it's just like, we really need to figure out how to separate ourselves from that work, from the inner work, which is very important, to enjoying our life right now, right here, embracing what energy we need to embrace in order to cultivate new projects and new ways of being. And, you know, what's more important is, you know, like, really connecting with family and healing relationships in real life. Is that more important? Because to me, that's more important in my life rather than, you know, beating myself up or staying in my trauma or continuing to be a victim of these self-limiting beliefs and these narratives of our past and these stories, which are all valid, you know? What happened in our past, in our childhood, in our adolescence, in our 20s, whatever, all of it happened, but it comes to a point where it's like you're so drained and you're so exhausted and you've reran that story and that script so many times that you're just like bored of it. And I really like the way that I heard Joseph Lee on This Jungian Life podcast. He explains it really well. He's just like, you know, like, you get to a point where you go to therapy, you're talking about the same things over and over again, and you're just like, okay, when does it end? And not end in the sense of, okay, it's all done, I'm over it, no, I don't care about you know, what I went through, but allowing yourself to step into a new frequency of understanding that made you who you are, but it doesn't define who you are now. Like, it doesn't, our past traumas and wounds and relationships and, you know, just weird stuff that happened to us in our childhood, that doesn't have to, like, stick with us right here. So with detoxing from Instagram and going on this, you know, sharing detox is what I like to call it, I realized when I was deep cleaning the apartment in California, which was a very exhausting process because I was doing it all by myself. You know, the girl that I was living with there did not help me at all. And that's part of the reason why I'm so happy to be in Florida and be with family and be in my room and be in my home, you know, because it's safe, because it feels good, because it's nourishing, because it's replenishing, because it's, you know, it, I feel empowered here, you know, as challenging as it is to live with family, as triggering as it is, as daunting as it is, it truly is a safe space to reset, to, because with a reset, you're gonna, with resting, that's gonna come with a reset. And, you know, California is not a place I want to be right now. I know I have a lot of California listeners, but many of you guys have actually, you know, messaged me and been like, yeah, I've been wanting to move out of California. And it's like, I don't blame you. It's like, what's the point of paying thousands of dollars in rent and, you know, living like a very, you know, isolated, closed off, rough life? I didn't have a car while I was subletting in California either. So I was taking care of the two cats. I was cleaning after two cats. And like my roommate never really helped me with that. You know, moving out of that apartment was very cleansing and freeing. And I swear there's something, there's an energy that comes with moving, like packing your stuff and throwing stuff away and just purging on all levels, you know, like giving stuff away. And it just feels so good. I felt these layers of myself unraveling, especially when I was cleaning. And so I was scrubbing the bathtub, and I was just like, wow, I feel like I'm aggressively scrubbing my soul right now. I'm scrubbing the scum off of my being that stuck to me from these situations that happened when I was in California. And don't get me wrong, I had a great time living there, but things fade, things fizzle. I'm over it. I have a very, you know, I'm just like, okay, when I extract everything that I can from a space, from a place, from a job, from a person, from an experience, you extract all the good stuff from it, right? Like, you just get everything that you needed from it, and then you're like, all right, I'm ready to fucking move on. I'm ready to get the fuck away from this person. I'm ready to get, you know, out of this scenario, because people can drain you, and passive-aggressive people are some of the most draining people you can put yourself around, okay? I'm sure that a lot of you guys know this already, but passive aggressive energy is not clean. It's not clean. Open communication is sometimes challenging and vulnerable and icky and gross, but what's more gross is passive aggressive energy and people who are fake and people who don't know how to speak up in person and communicate. And they talk shit behind your back, or they have a different persona, and it's just, and we all have different personas, we all have different masks, that's normal. But this is an example. If there's someone in your life who who will only, you know, say bitchy things or rude things via text, but then when you're around them in person, they act fake nice to you, and they would never say that to you in person, something that they can only type. That is passive aggressive bullshit energy, and that is not something that I'm willing to be around anymore. communication is maturity. And if you can only, you know, jab somebody via text, but then in person you're fake nice to them, that is just gross. That's gross. And I'm not saying you're like this. I'm saying if you're around this kind of energy, run. Just get the fuck out of there. And this is what I was dealing with my roommate that I was living with in California. And I'm not saying this to talk shit. I'm saying this because I want to let you guys know that when you go through a relationship like that, or a friendship, or any type of connection, distance yourself from that person, because that's not clean energy to be around. So I definitely did a lot of self-reiki. I did a lot of energy protection. I saged the fuck out of that apartment, cleaned the fuck out of it, and, you know, I did my best. But let's move into some more of my notes here. So Instagram breaks, you need to do them every once in a while. And it's just like, why do we share what we share? Why do I feel the need to share so many things that I do in my life, like through the day, you know? It's gotten to the point where I feel like society is so malnourished when it comes to connection, obviously with COVID, but I think it's been happening for years. Instagram pretty much is the reason why we feel so alone, yet we use Instagram to connect with people. So it's like this crazy paradox that is just starting to really not make sense to me anymore, and that's why I'm taking a week or two off. I don't know how long. But what I realized is that the moment that I touched down back home, I started going through like all of my stuff, and, you know, I realized like, wow, I really left a lot of stuff here. I was only supposed to live in California for like 3 months, and it ended up being 5. So I only went with like 2 suitcases, and then I came back, and, you know, I realized here, like, I have oracle decks, I have so many different things I'd love to incorporate into my work. And being in California really limited me, because I was only there with what I had, with what clothes I had, with what deck I had. It was like I felt kind of stuck there. And I was, you know, just living the same kind of same weeks over and over again. And I felt stuck. I felt like I was in a rut, kind of. But, you know, of course, the first month that I was there, I wasn't feeling that. I was feeling high and so expanded from living there. So that's what I mean when I say, like, chariot energy. You're moving forward, you're not looking back, you're over it, you've expanded, and you have progressed and flourished, and you've just gotten to this new level of yourself. You've up leveled. It's like in a game, you know, you get to the next level. It's like you're not like thinking about the level before. You're not thinking, oh my god, I wonder what those, you know, what those game characters are doing in the level before. Like you beat that level, so you're done, and this is all a game. So it's like when you up level and you're moving into a new timeline, or you're moving, or you are literally creating a new life for yourself, what's the point of looking back at, you know, someone who fucked you over? Or, you know, it's almost like it's wiped clean. And it's crazy. Like I truly had this feeling right when I got home here in Florida. I was like, it feels like a dream. Like I'm back here. It feels like I was just in some kind of time warp wormhole for 5 months. Like it didn't really happen, and it was all a dream, and then there's parts of it that were nightmares. And then I got back here, and the journey was so challenging. I, like, after that journey of traveling back, I felt like I had run like an Ironman marathon, and I was so dehydrated. I was so hungry. It just makes you really appreciate how strong and resilient you are when you go through something like such a crazy transition. Like, I was having so much anxiety about flying with these two cats. I thought they were going to kill each other. I thought they were going to like kick me off the plane. I thought like worst case scenarios, absolute worst case scenarios were ruling my life for a month. So the point of this, why I'm explaining this, is when you're living in that frequency of anxiety and panic and worry and worst case scenarios, that is detrimental to your soul. That is detrimental to your body. Living in that energy frequency for months at a time is literally decaying you. So it's so important to like take a step back and look at your life from a larger lens and be like, is it worth it? Is it worth it for you to stay in the city because you're just afraid to move because you know how much, you know, energy and time and, you know, effort it's going to take? Or is it more worth it to, quote unquote, take steps back, which I don't believe in taking steps back. I believe that in order for us to get unstuck, we have to, like, we really have to understand that there's in-between times. And in order for us to get unstuck, we have to maybe take a step in a different direction that feels like a step back, but truly it's just creating that in-between space in time between transitions, between different points of our lives. And am I guilty or shameful for moving back home? No, not at all. For first of all, we're in a pandemic still. Second of all, this is my home and there's nothing to be ashamed of. I work hard. I am an entrepreneur. I'm a teacher. I'm a writer. I'm a speaker. Just because I live at home temporarily, that doesn't take away from all those things that I do. And this is something that my therapist is really helping me realize, is that we throw ourselves under the bus so quickly. But if a friend of yours was in your position and they moved back home, would you like make fun of them and degrade them? And like, no, you probably wouldn't. So I have to really take a step back and be like, wow, I have accomplished so much this year. So if you're feeling like you stepped back, you took steps back, or if you want to move home or you want to get a smaller place, you know, taking steps back and downgrading is actually upgrading because it's creating more space in your physical life to create more. I talked about this already in the most previous episode. In the last couple, maybe last three episodes, it's been very rooted in this. So I feel like if this kind of stuff resonates with you, go and listen to the previous three episodes. So when I got home, I realized the smallest things, the smallest little things in my life bring me such joy, like a closet full of toiletries or a pantry full of food, you know, I don't know if you can hear the lawnmowers outside, but whatever. Like, I missed just having everything that I needed, because living in California, I didn't have, you know, extra things. I had to figure out how I was going to get groceries. I had to figure out how I was going to, you know, get places. Lyft sucks out there. Everything is shut down out there, and it's just, it's not enjoyable. And what I realized here, you know, being back in my mom's house, is that she is the epitome of living in abundance. She doesn't have a lot of money. You know, she's filed bankruptcy a couple times. I remember growing up, it was very, very challenging and weird and confusing. I remember, you know, us shopping at thrift stores, going to churches and getting like boxes of food. And, you know, she always made it work. And even though she doesn't have money, you know, she basically lives off of my stepdad, which is totally fine. That's just how that generation was brought up. You know, the women cook and clean, the men provide for the family or whatever. But my mom has this beautiful way of saving things, refurbishing things. When you walk into her home, it feels like you just walked into some kind of like art museum. Like there's things on display, there's beautiful things that she's collected over the years from thrift stores, from estate sales, from things that people give away, like beautiful glassware and antiques and vintage things. You would think that when you walked in here, you know, that she had tons and tons of money, but the way that she does her, the way that she lives her life is really inspirational to me. And this is something that I think I've inherited from my mom, is that she really lives in that frequency of abundance, of, you know, making the most of what you have, saving things, cherishing things. When you go into the closet, in the bathrooms, there's like tons of extra toiletries that she's collected over the years and saved. And, you know, she doesn't throw things away if they're new. And it's like, I feel so abundant when I'm here, and it has nothing to do with money. That's the point. You know, my mom and my stepdad, they're not rich. You know, and but when you walk inside, you feel a rich energy, because the way that they keep their home is really nice. And I, you know, my mom is the one to thank for that, because she's the decorator, she's the artist, she's the all those things. So it's beautiful to, and this is what I was talking about in my previous episode. Abundance isn't something that you manifest. Abundance is a frequency that you live in. It's an energy that you live in. So I want you to ask yourself, what are the small things in your life that actually bring you joy and actually make your life worthwhile? Like these small, nostalgic, little, like stupid things, these mundane things. Those are the things that actually transmit into our body, into safety, into security, into happiness, inner peace. It's not money, it's not possessions, but there are things that we need in order to feel safe and secure, like food and shelter and a home that feels energetically safe. And when I was living in California, I was not feeling energetically safe with that roommate that I had. I felt like the energy around me was just probably one of the worst energies I've been around. And it reminded me of past experiences that I've gone through with female roommates in Miami. So this is kind of a complex and a shadow cycle that I'm working through. But with that said, in a lot of the tarot readings that I was doing recently, the Ten of Swords kept coming out. And the collective energy is basically like really feeling all of the times that we've gotten stabbed in the back, or somebody did us wrong, or we failed at something, we quote unquote failed at something, or we didn't get that job, or we didn't get something, or somebody fucked us over, all the toxic relationships we've been in. But when the Ten of Swords comes out, it's like a complete surrender, because all those experiences are in the past. Ten of Swords comes out. There's no 11 or 12 of Swords. That's it. Ten of Swords, that's it. So it's like this moment of release, of relief, you know? Ah, oh my God, thank God that's over. And that goes right in hand with the Chariot energy. I feel like the Chariot and the Ten of Swords is, it just like really meshes together so beautifully, because it's like, all right, all these experiences that have like really just chipped at my being and really exhausted my soul and my body and created a bitterness or created anger or discomfort in my life. But then the Chariot comes out, and the Chariot's like, all right, moving on, moving forward, not looking back. Also, reeling, it's almost like you're reeling yourself back to where you're supposed to be, or reeling yourself forward, I should say. And then once you're forward in your new timeline, in your new life, then you can start to reel things in. I like using that song, Reel It In, by Anime. He's a rapper. It's like, Reel It In. I get that energy from Chariot as well. It's like reeling yourself where you belong, reeling yourself back to what's going to actually nourish you and help you heal. If you could hear that noise in the background, I'm sorry, but I'm not gonna edit it out right now. It'll be over in a second. So what I realized also when I was going through the airport and my journey back and blah, 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 is leaving the baggage behind. I'm sure you've all heard that phrase, right? Leaving the baggage behind. Well, can you actually leave the baggage behind? Because a lot of us know that phrase, you know, leaving the baggage behind, letting go of the past, leaving the past behind you. But truly, do you? Or do you have one foot of your mind, you know, still back in those experiences that pissed you off or upset you, and you're trying to still hash it out in your mind, which is taking you away from this moment right here, right now, which is, you know, this is what I've really been honing in on, is the quicker that you recover from aversion or any type of suffering, the stronger your reactions become, and it's just plain easy to let things slide off you, and there's no like cord pulling you to ruminate in what happened. Maybe this is just something that gets easier as you get older. I mean, it has to be, but it's like that, those neural pathways that, like, you know, quantum physics and Joe Dispenza and all these, you know, spiritual doctors are talking about, these toxic neural pathways that are so embedded, right? Like the addiction pathways, the eating disorder pathways, the depression, the anxiety. Sometimes it's so much easier to stay in those ways because the path is so grooved, but it's like not doing you, and it's not serving you anymore. It's actually detrimental to your health and to your life. So it takes work and it takes effort to consciously choose that I'm going to leave the baggage behind. I'm going to leave those toxic experiences behind, because if I don't, that's actually pulling me back. And it's like a rubber band just keeps pulling you back, and you're unable to actually root yourself and ground yourself in this moment in your life, manifest what it is you're trying to manifest, create what it is you're trying to create, change your life for what you need. In order for me to completely, you know, jump into a new timeline and make those compromises and ask myself what my priorities were, I needed to energetically rid myself of what happened in California. You know, the pain, the discomfort, the isolation, the loneliness. The months that I was living in California were the most isolated I've ever been in my life. Because I wasn't even around my mom. it was just me and the cats, and that's it. You know, it got to the point where me and my roommate didn't even speak, and that was fine with me because, again, I was energy protecting myself, and I was just trying to keep my inner peace. But that's not a frequency or an energy to live in permanently. Even a week of that shit is, it's just a gross energy to live in. So if you're in that kind of situation, whether it's your relationship, your roommate, your job, if there's people with that energy, it's sucking the life out of you. It's sucking the fucking life out of you, and it's time to leave that behind and find a way to create a new life for yourself. So, like I said, I extracted all the good from California. So it's important to remember that. We have to extract all the good and marinate in the good and bring the good with us. Like, all the good memories, all the things I learned from California, all the beautiful people I've hung out with there, all the amazing experiences I had there, those things are with me right now. But the toxic bullshit and the things that are no longer serving me, they stayed there. It's almost like the moment I got on that plane, I felt my body release. It was like the ultimate energetic release. Sometimes it really requires this journey, this mission, this really challenging fucking journey of changing your life. It's not easy. But once you get to the next spot, once you get to the next place, you're going to feel that weight lifted off your shoulders. And it's like the universe is wrapping you in her arms and hugging you and reminding you that you're safe, reminding you that there's always a way to get out of the toxic scenario that, you know, was occurring. There's always a way. There's always a way. So again, if this interests you, I talk about this silver platter energy in the most previous three episodes. But the most previous episode right before this one is the one that I talk about it a lot. So I want you to think about the things in your life that give you joy, like actual material things. Like, what actual things give you joy, you know? Like, because things and possessions actually hold a lot of energy. And what I realized here is all of my crystals and trinkets and my decks and my jewelry and my gems and all of these little things that really, they don't cost a lot of money, you know? They're just things I've collected over the years. Just being around those things completely changed my energy and my frequency. So that's why it's so important to create an altar. That's why it's so important to create a safe space in your room and really create that divine, melting, safe environment so that you can truly melt yourself and feel warm. Like, the minute I got here, I felt like that just by being around my stuff. So in that sense, it's not material, it's not egotistical, because possessions and beautiful things that we admire and that hold value to us, they have a frequency of healing ourselves. That's why crystals are so powerfully healing, right? It holds an energy, it holds a frequency in those things. When you can create your new life, because I know that you are in the process or you have done it, and now, you know, maybe you're feeling this sudden effortless shedding. And this term came to me really beautifully and sporadically when I was in my room, and I was like, wow, like, I truly feel like that part of my life is behind me. It's like it was a dream. Like I said, it was like a nightmare/dream. And now it's like you might be able to even for a moment, right? Even just for a moment, like in your meditation practice, like maybe a moment during your meditation practice, you feel this wave of effortless, like instant, so smooth and graceful shedding. And it's like you drop it. So I'm reading this book by Pema Chodron, and it's called Start Where You Are. And last night I was actually reading a couple pages of it, and she explains the part of the practice of just dropping it, you know? And it's like when you get home and you have your heavy baggage, right? It's super, super heavy, and you have to carry it up the stairs or whatever. It's not like you're going to gracefully, like, place it on the ground. You drop it. You just drop it, and you're like, oh, thank God. I feel so much better already. That's what we need to do with our past, with the past experiences that we've already ruminated in them, we've already overthinked them, we've already, you know, replayed the scenes in our head, we've gone to therapy, we've written about it, we've journaled about it, we've talked about it, we've you know, hammered it so deeply into our life that it's time to actually dissolve it now. You know, we're done with the replaying of the narratives, of the stories and all that. Now it's time to dissolve and transmute it away. It's still there. It's still part of our life. It's still part of our past. But if we can just extract all of the good that we learned from those lessons and integrate ourselves back into this life that we're creating now, away from the trauma, away from the setbacks, away from this Ten of Swords energy, and again, bringing all the good that came with you and allowing yourself to really bring those lessons with you into your life now. Because, for example, you know, I was so eager to get out of my mom and my stepdad's house in the summer, because I spent 7 months here, January to August, and during COVID. So it was like really, really hard. And I'm sure a lot of you guys have had the same exact experience. So I got to the point where I was like, I'm ready to get the fuck out of here. Fuck this. I'm never living with family again. You guys are so toxic. You guys are so dramatic. You guys have problems. Like, you know, ripping them apart because, you know, they do have their issues. You know, my mom's a codependent, overworking. She's got health issues. You know, my stepdad is a bit of a narcissist. You know, patriarchy runs in his blood. He likes to call millennials snowflakes and make fun of them. But what I'm realizing now is I got my healing California experience, and, you know, it was healing at first, and towards the end, it was the opposite of healing. It's like when you go on vacation. You can find yourself like really feeling it, and then at the end you're just, maybe it's not feeling that great anymore. You're just like, all right, like now what, you know? So my time in California, those are the lessons that I learned, is like, you can't just run away from things and expect things to just be out of your life. Like, my mom and my stepdad are going to be in my life for a long time. And I have to be okay with their cycles and their conditioning and their patterns. And I have learned how to separate myself from that. And that's a huge part of what I am doing in therapy. So like what I realized, and the biggest lesson that I learned, is this contrast and this shift of perspective, this beautiful shift of perspective of appreciation and just gratitude and feeling safe in my home with my family. You know, as much as my stepdad bothers me, triggers me, I don't agree with the way that he does things. I don't think I ever will. But being around my mom is so healing, and I'm taken care of here, and I help her out, and I like to help her out with cleaning and helping, you know, she has a lot of health issues. So when I'm here, I'll, you know, I'll make her green juices and green smoothies and cook for her if she'll eat it, you know, and make her tea and help with the, just anything I can, you know, taking out the trash, like whatever. And I also help out with like utilities here, and I do everything that I can to help them, you know. I just think that we need to heal our actual physical lives right here, right now. And sometimes social media takes us away from that. And even, you know, even people who are successful, you know, with their podcasts, they have a reason to really go all in with their podcast and devote hours and hours and hours a day to their podcast. For me, I don't really get paid with this shit, you guys. I know that there's sometimes ads in my podcast, but I basically do not make really anything from this podcast. And that's fine with me. I mean, I do it because it's a way for me to verbally and emotionally purge at the same time as helping the collective with energy updates, with whatever I'm learning in therapy, with whatever I'm learning in my self-study with psychology and mental health. So the reason why I do this podcast is to help people. And I feel like I'm doing that because I do get messages and emails from you guys. So that solidifies that. But with Instagram, it's like, you know, it only can go so far. And a post, a very powerful post, a written post, yeah, that's great. I mean, I think that we should all be following people who are speaking the truth, empowering us, not really like in lack mentality and talking shit about people in the space. You know, like if you don't like what someone is sharing, then just unfollow them and put your blinders on. If somebody's all ego or you can see right through them or whatever, unfollow them and put on your blinders. I think social media is really good and powerful in little chunks, in little spurts. But at the end of the day, we really have to be like very real with ourselves, with why we share what we share, why we're on Instagram, what are we seeking, what are we reaching, what are we grasping for. So this brings me into some writing, some journal prompts, and some questions that I've been really focusing on in my daily healing practice, because with journaling, that never ends for me. And I actually sent out an email to the mental health support group, to the people who are on my email list. So I shared some of these with them. But I'm taking a little break from Instagram, so I'm trying to figure out ways to still share and still help people, but without feeling this drain. It's like an emotional drain that takes me away whenever I'm on Instagram. It doesn't feel good, really. Except for when I do tarot lives. But one thing I will say is that when I do get back on social media on Instagram, I'm going to start hopefully making more YouTube videos, because sometimes I feel like my Instagram live tarot readings, even though they're on my IGTV, I feel like they just like disappear and like they go unnoticed. But I'm still going to do Instagram live tarot readings, but I'm also going to try to do one collective long reading experience, and that's going to be on YouTube. So if you don't follow my YouTube, go check it out. But here's some journal questions if you're thinking about, you know, what truly matters, what really matters to you, you know, what makes your life worthwhile, that kind of stuff. So, you know, maybe you can journal as you listen to these, but I'm going to go through them one by one. So ask yourself, why am I posting what I'm posting? Why am I scrolling? What am I seeking? Who am I apart from my social media? What truly matters in my life right now? What brings my body more healing that I am lacking? Do I feel like I'm sharing from a place of lack? Do I share things from a place of grasping and needing attention? What is creating a pulling energy that makes me feel like I have to do more? A forceful energy. Who am I trying to prove my coolness to? What do I actually want to do today that will bring me happiness and joy and excitement? What do I need to step back from and create space from? What is the point of what I do each day? Where is my intention with social media? What is most important to me, and what relationships in my life need more attention than Instagram? I'm going to go over to my notes now. So, what's your why? You know, are you posting out of a rooted feeling of loneliness? Can you just appreciate the delicious small joys in life without posting on Instagram? Side note, you know, for me, that question really rings true. Is like, why do I feel the need to post my smoothie? Why do I feel the need to post me on my run? Why do I feel the need to post my coffee or my snack? At the end of the day, I really want to make my entire Instagram way more intentional and so powerful that all the other fluff is not there anymore. It's just truly pure. It's a pure channel of to the point, direct content to help people heal and grow and feel good. All the other stuff that we do during the day, that's like intimate, that's private. And so I'm going to go into this note that I wrote. You know, so I said, what's the intention underneath sharing these little dinky moments, you know, during our day? What's the intention underneath sharing little dinky moments of our day? It's okay to share these little dinky moments, don't get me wrong, but am I sharing so much to make up for a lack of socializing and intimacy? Because being intimate with spirit and our soul and our highest self is the ultimate form of validation and intimacy. And if that's not enough, then that's actually violating our soul, our spirit. If we feel like we can't just absorb ourselves into the moment and be okay with making that cup of coffee or that meal or reading that book or reading that article or doing that workout alone, you know, if we feel like we have to share it, we have to extend it outwardly and we have to make people know that we did this, where is that coming from? You know, is it coming from a place of wanting to help people feel inspired, to help motivate people? Because that's cool, that's fine. But if it's coming from a place of, oh, I want people to know what I'm doing in my life because I feel like I just want to be seen, I want to be heard, I want attention, you know, I want to feel cool, I want to feel appreciated, I want to feel awesome, that's more like coming from ego, you know? And it's like, what's the point of posting all the things you're baking or, you know, your cat every day? Like, I just had to start really questioning myself of why am I posting these things? Is it really helping them? Is it helping people? Or is it making them feel like I'm just one of those people who overshares? And then they're just going to be like, all right, well, I guess she's just sharing stupid shit all day long. And then when I actually share something super potent, super powerful, super important, they're just not going to even care. That's what I mean about sharing detox. It's really important, and I've never felt so called to do it. But really ask yourself if you feel like it's not enough when you spend these moments intimately with yourself and not sharing outwardly. You know, connect with your soul, connect with your spirit. Because if you keep feeling like it's not good enough just to spend time with yourself and your spirit and your soul and your spirit guides, that's really sad. And it's signaling to them and to your highest self and to your soul that you're not enough, right? It all kind of narrows down to this not enoughness, this hungry ghost, this feeling of being just unworthy. And the reason why we constantly want to share things is to get that validation, that acceptance, that worthiness from other people, that curiosity from people. We want people to be intrigued with us. We want people to be curious about what we're doing. We want to preach, you know? And there's nothing wrong with having people be curious about you, but there's a fine line between what's healthy and not. You know, these beautiful, nostalgic, blissful moments that we have during the day, instead of constantly going to our phones and needing to just like extend them to people who like we've never even met, you know, like thousands of people who you've never even met, and you feel this desire to share with them these precious moments of your day. If this is something you're struggling with, I really, really recommend getting a therapist if you don't have one already, because these are things that you can share with your therapist and voice them, or journal about them, or call a friend and talk to a friend, or text a friend who's actually in your real life, your 3D reality, because that's what's most nourishing. It's okay to want to share stupid, dinky moments with friends and family, but is it going to make you feel better by sharing it into the empty ethers of Instagram where people might not even notice it? You know, like, what truly matters? So truly ask yourself that. What truly matters to you right now? Because Instagram and social media can only get you so far. It's not nourishing and healing on a physical and spiritual level. Sure, it can teach you things. You can find podcasts. You can find healers. You can find some really solid information. You can find free tarot readings. You can find, you know, free lectures that are helpful. But create that space on Instagram, and then when it's starting to feel like you're being pulled to your phone to share things into an emptiness, into a void, into the ego, the devil energy, you know, into another room real quick. I think that's my cue to start ending this episode. So I want just to remind you that it's okay to take steps, quote unquote, back. There's no such thing as steps back. This is your path, whatever direction you're going. And, you know, I want you to really hone in on those questions. You know, who are you apart from social media? Who is in your physical reality who really truly matters? Who is in your life when you're not on social media is the question. Who texts you? Who checks in on you? And really, like, connecting and understanding where this pull, where this, like, toxic cord of wanting to always share and oversharing and this, like, toxic desire to share these beautiful, small, blissful moments of our day, start connecting to your spirit guides, start connecting to your soul and communicate with them more. Tell them thank you, you know, Thank you, God. Thank you, Spirit, for this moment. Thank you, God. Thank you, Spirit, for this experience. Like, communicate with them that you're seeing it, you're experiencing it, you're present, because going on to Instagram and sharing it isn't validating anything to your spirit guides. It's just validating, you're trying to validate your worth to people on Instagram who aren't really in your life at all. I truly look at you guys in a different way than like the majority of my Instagram followers. Like, I know that you guys obviously maybe follow me on Instagram, but the people who actually tune into my podcast, you guys are on another level of friendship to me. I feel like you guys know me, and I love connecting with you guys so much because you're here for it. You're here for the spiritual growth. You are bettering your relationships. You are healing. You're timeline hopping. You are curious. You are powerful. The people who just follow me on Instagram and that's it, they're just kind of getting a one-dimensional me, and they're not getting the full experience of what I want to offer. So that's why I'm doing this podcast episode, even though I'm taking an Instagram break, because the podcast is what truly matters to me. And that's what I had to truly sit down and realize, is like, Instagram is not that meaningful, but it allows me to create a channel to promote the podcast and to connect with you guys. So I really appreciate all of your energy. I appreciate your time. I appreciate, like, just you guys and messaging me and letting me know what resonated and just all these things. And stick around and stay tuned for weekly YouTube tarot oracle reading experiences, because I have two decks here that I've never used on Instagram, and I'm super excited to start that. I just bought one of those, like, ring lights, and I'm gonna try to really make it legit, you know, like, new chapters, new experiences. And sometimes in order for us to create a new energy in our life, we have to take a break, we have to take a step back, we have to take a healing reset and look at our life from a larger lens, detox from sharing, detox from people, detox from scrolling, and just live and just be and just, you know, like, watch YouTube videos on things that bring you joy. Listen to podcasts that bring you joy. Move, breathe, make art, do things, connect with real people in your real life. So, yeah, I hope that helped. I hope this episode helped and resonated. Share it with a friend or a family member or anyone who you feel would, you know, enjoy listening to this. And I will leave you with the rest of this song called This City by Matt Bellina and co-written by me. Starving mental fight.
appetite. But I got a starving mental fight. It's crazy, I found myself and lost myself all in one whole night. Attachment or expectation of a certain outcome.